Howdy, brethren. I'm glad to be here tonight. My, I'm so grateful for the privilege of having been this week in this great church. I mean, a great church. We're so grateful for you, dear people, that care about souls. Thank you, Pastor, for inviting me. Let me spend some time ministering to the people here. I'm grateful, deeply grateful. Thank you for the wonderful meal. When something is real good in Brazil, you do. If it's extra special good, you go. That's the lunch we had. Extra special good, I tell you. I appreciate it from the very depths of my heart. Thank you for the nice place to stay. I am so grateful. Do not deserve any of that, but we're grateful for your kindness and your love. And appreciate all the singing. My, what a blessing it's been tonight. The singing has been just tremendous. I appreciate it. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I want to talk to you a little while tonight on this subject of grace giving or faith promise giving. I know that Brother Stennett Blue is probably one of the best along this line that I have heard, and I appreciate. You see, I've been on the mission field, I guess, maybe two or three terms, and we had some pastors come to our church there in Brazil, and Pat Creed from Clinton, Maryland asked me would I come when I came home on furlough, would I hold a meeting for him? Missions conference, and I said yes, and I never will forget Brother Creed meeting with all the missionaries that were in that conference. I think about 8 men, and of course their wives didn't meet with us, but he asked them, how many of you practice on the field faith promise giving? Well, one right after another starts saying, "But well, as soon as we get our national pastor supported, we plan on it." And he showed all of us that you can do it immediately. You can start participating. And I asked Brother Creed, would he teach me about faith promise giving? And he did teach me. And that helped me so much, gave me materials. And then Brother Stennett Ballou came to our church, and I was home on furlough, and I was able to hear and ground. And so I believe it's important at least one time in the missions conference to preach about grace giving or faith promise giving. Would you stand with me, please? I'm going to pray and remain standing as I read, after prayer, verses 1 through 9. Our Heavenly Father, how good this singing has been tonight. How our souls have been blessed, stirred. Thank you for the 2 choirs, the special singing. Thank you for trios, and thank you for solos, and we thank you for all the good music we've had this week. Thank you for the fellowship. Thank you. Dear Lord, from the very depths of our heart, for Brother Jamie and his wife Erica being with us, and bless and guide. And thank you for helping her feel better. She can be here tonight. Please fill me with the Spirit of God. Please put your hand upon me. My desire is to glorify Thee. My desire is to exalt Thy name. And to do that, I need the infilling, the empowering of Thy Holy Spirit. Bless the reading of Thy Word and then the explanation as we look to Thee for victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Still standing, you don't mind. Verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Thank you. You may be seated. Grace giving, or as we have taught, faith promise giving. It's the most sublime way to give. After I got a hold of the concepts, I said I'm going to teach our church in Brazil. And we began to teach. And we separated a whole month of August where every Wednesday night, Sunday school, Sunday night had to do with missions, and ended up in a missions conference. Our people were so excited. You can't imagine how they were excited and thrilled to be able to send our Brazilian missionaries out. And at that time when I left, we had, and the minimum wage, it's much higher now, but it was only about $100 a month. Now, most people made more than that. But our people were supporting partially 75 Brazilian missionaries scattered throughout their jungles and in other places telling the gospel. Now it's 100. And God help us to go forward. Now, what is God teaching here in this chapter? Let me say a few things that He's not teaching. He's not talking about the tithe. In verse 3, it said the Macedonian believers gave beyond their power. Now, the tithe is a tenth, and that's according to your power. But beyond your power, that's something else. That's giving what you don't have. You heard about the two fellas walking down a country road, and one said to the other, if you had $2 million, would you give me $1 million? He said, well, you know I would. He said, if you had 20 homes, would you give me one? He said, would you give me 10? He said, you know I would. He said, if you had 2 hogs, would you give me one? He said, shut up, you know I got 2 hogs. Now, he was willing to give something he didn't have. And that's about what we're going to talk about tonight. Secondly, what it isn't, it's not a command. Faith, promise, giving is not a command. Look at verse 8. I speak not by what? Commandment. This isn't a command of God. Go ye into all the world is to sin, but faith, promise, giving is not a commandment. But it does prove your love. Look in verse 8 again. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. It takes faith to give to God something you don't have. In other words, you ask God to lead you, and He puts on your heart something that you should give every week or month for a year. You don't have that now, but you're praying. He's laid it on your heart. And you will receive that. And you will be able to give it and meet your obligation. Paul is teaching the Corinthian believers to give a special offering to Jewish believers that were in need in Jerusalem. Now, he uses the Macedonian believers to challenge the Corinthian believers. The Corinthian church had been failing. They started out well. They had a great promise, but they were failing. And look in verse 6, Paul is sending Titus, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace. He's saying, hey, you have become slack, you've let down, and I'm sending Titus there to help you. In other words, build a fire beneath you to get you back on track. Now, the Corinthian church, they had a lot of faith in gifts, but not much in graces. Paul tells him the greatest concept of giving is grace giving. Look at verse 1 again. Moreover, brethren, we do you the with of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. He's saying, I'm going to tell you Corinthian believers about what God did by His grace to the Macedonian believers. And he begins to tell them. Now the word grace, it appears 7 times in 2 Corinthians 8, 4 times in 2 Corinthians 9. Grace giving is faith promise giving. Now, notice what it is. We've noticed what it isn't, but let's notice what it is in a few minutes tonight. Number one, grace giving is when we give in spite of the circumstances. Look at verse 1 and 2 again, or verse 2 and 3. Talking about the Macedonian believers, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, and yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Now, God had bestowed on these believers in Macedonia this marvelous grace. And they gave, he said, out of deep poverty. You see, that part of Greece was undergoing extreme poverty. Special exceptions were made for that part of the world regarding taxes because of the tremendous problems they were facing. Now he's using these Macedonian believers, which were new believers. They were poor people. Aren't you glad God doesn't have to have rich people and wealthy people to do His job, amen or not? God can take poor people. A businessman visiting Korea, riding with the pastor, saw two men in a field. One was pulling the plow, and the other was behind the plow as they were plowing up the ground. And the visitor said, "Stop." He said, "Why is this happening? One is pulling and the other's falling along behind in the back of the plow." He said, "Oh, those men are from our church. They gave their ox to the Lord for a special need. And now one has to pull and the other goes behind. That's giving out of your poverty." Now, not only did the Macedonian believers give out of their poverty, but they gave with great joy. It says in verse 2, let me read it to you again, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their, what? Oh no! There wasn't anybody with their faces all scrunched up, saying, "Boy, talk to us about anything, but don't talk to us about giving." No, they weren't like that. They were saying, "Praise God, hallelujah, we can give! We can give to help others!" They gave out a great trial, it says. Affliction. They didn't use that as an excuse. They didn't say, "I'm poor," and that's exactly what I had to get over in Brazil, because all missionaries began to say, "Hey, our people are poor. They can't do very much," and I had to get that out of my mind that they can do, and they can give, and they have given, hallelujah, in spite of the circumstances, and with great joy. I wish you could be there the last night of a mission conference when Faith Promise was taken up. Of course, names were not read, but the amount was read from the pulpit, our treasure, and it was being tallied up. And boy, all of a sudden we reached what we had been praying for, and you saw our people, tears flushing down their faces, and hands raised towards heaven, as they praised God, for the joy of being able, to send out Brazilian missionaries. God's grace isn't limited by the economy. Even the President Obama doesn't depend on him. Aren't you glad of that? Hallelujah. Our God depends on nobody. Corinth was a commercial city, and they had every advantage, and yet they were failing. Macedonia was poor, and yet they were proceeding and going forward. What a rebuke it was to that church. Now, grace giving, secondly. Are you with me out there? Are you with me? Grace giving is when we give enthusiastically. Look at verse 3 and 4 again. "For to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints." This is the saints at Jerusalem. We had seen they had given with great joy. Happy. Generous. I was up in Portland, Oregon. and preaching, and on the same platform was a much greater preacher. I mean, a great man of God, Brother David Gibbs. And I remember Brother Gibbs preaching one morning and telling how he had visited some mission fields and how they were poor, and yet they were glad to give and glad to work and glad to carry the gospel. Now, how did they give enthusiastically? First of all, according to their power. Bless your heart, they were tithers. Come on now, amen or not. They were tithers. They were giving their tithe. Nobody can give a faith promise until first they have learned to be a tither. Now, they gave all they could. But look, they gave beyond their power. Now, how can you give beyond your power? Depending on the one who has all power. They gave what they didn't have. Grace had enabled them, and grace was bestowed upon them to commit themselves to give for 1 year. They didn't have it. But they believed God was going to supply that. Natural eyes can't understand this. Now, carnal mind will already tune me out. They've already turned off the microphone in their mind, and they can't understand that. And most of us, until we arrive near the cross and receive grace from Him, let's just illustrate this. If you committed yourself, and I suspect you already have been led of the Lord, let's just make an example, $30 a week above your tithe. That's $1,560. I sure don't have that. Do you have that? No, but you see, you can make a promise to give that, and God will give it to you if He is leading you to do that. Now, thirdly, they gave willingly. Look at verse 3 again. They were willing of themselves. And look at this in verse 4. I can't get over this. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. Brother Wayne, when was the last time one of your members came up and said, "Preacher, please take this offering. Please take this offering." Now see, Paul knew they were poor. And he didn't want to put pressure, an undue pressure. But they wouldn't let him go. "Please, please, Paul. We want to be involved in this. We don't want to be left out. We want to be involved." And they begged him. They begged him to let them be involved. I believe we'd have a great revival if we saw some people coming to pastors and saying, "I want to get the gospel out to Alaska and out to Chile. I want to get preacher, please take this. Please let us put this in." Willingly. Nobody forcing. Nobody putting pressure. We should give not because we're constrained or forced to by man, but by the grace of God. You say, does God's grace, is it sufficient? Look in chapter 9 and verse 8, and look what it says. And God is able to make what? All grace. Yes, this grace to give to missions. And it says, they gave by grace. Grace opens our hearts. Grace makes us generous. Grace makes us willing. Now, I said, first of all, that we... grace given is when we give in spite of circumstances. Now, if you listen to the television or the radio, you'd think we're in the worst situation we've ever been in. And some of you older folks know better than that. Come on now, amen or not? You know better than that. But thank God grace doesn't depend on what people say. Now, thirdly, I hope, are you still getting this? All right. Thirdly, grace given is when we give like Christ gave. Look at verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even He had to have grace. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Now, Paul goes on to say that the Macedonian believers gave similar to the way Paul, our Lord, gave. Look in verse 5. The Macedonian believers, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. They gave themselves unto the Lord. First is the key word. It was the important thing. Their generosity was a direct result of their giving themselves unto the Lord. You give me folks that will give themselves unto the Lord, and you're going to have a generous people that will send the gospel around the world. A man committed to Christ will go, will pray, will send. Only a life like that can elevate our giving above the common. Hey folks, the common of most of our churches is the tithe. But here is a type of giving that elevates our giving far beyond the tithe. Secondly, giving like this keeps us from giving to be seen of men. Oh my. We should never give to be seen of men. Have you ever seen someone do this? Just put it back in your pocket. Everyone's seen it. Amen or not, brother? God doesn't want things like that. God doesn't want anybody to give to be seen of men, to impress somebody. It's between you and the Lord. You heard about the pig and the chicken going to the missions conference. Chicken looked at the pig and said, let's give some ham and eggs to the missions conference. Pig looked at the chicken and said, to you, that's just a contribution. To me, it's wholehearted surrender. I mean, it's whole hog. And that's what our Lord is after. A once and for all complete surrender to Him. Giving ourselves first to Christ keeps us from having a reluctant spirit. Look in chapter 9 and verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a what? Cheerful giver. God doesn't want anyone that feels like their arm is being twisted to give. That's not it. I'm not doing that tonight. This is something that is voluntarily. It's not even commanded in the Word of God. This is something that God wants done, but He doesn't try to make people do it. we don't need a reluctant spirit. What do you mean a reluctant spirit? Now, my wife and I have been married 58 years. Hallelujah. She's still the most beautiful lady I know. Amen or not. Now, she's all red. But let me show you what reluctant means. I come to her with a bouquet of flowers and I say, "Sweetheart, this is for you because I love you. I want you to have this bouquet of flowers." And I give her the flowers. Or I can come with a dozen roses and say, "Here, the preacher said I ought to give it." Now, what is she going to appreciate? What will she appreciate? That reluctant spirit, the preacher said, "Here, give it." She won't appreciate that. I was up in Maryland preaching, and this fella, when he was a layman, he had come to a church that was having faith promise giving. He didn't know anything about it. They tried to explain that weekend. They had made him an usher. And Dr. Don Siss was preaching the meeting there. And they were taking up the offering, and Dr. Siss gave a $50 bill in the offering. And that fella thought, if that poor missionary can give that in an offering, I'm going to give $50 a week above my tithe. And so he filled out the card, turned it in, $50 a week above his tithe. After the service, Dr. Siss came up to him. He said, "I didn't have any change. Could you give me 49 of those dollars?" But he had already filled out the card. Hey! He may not have understood, but down through the years he's been blessed, and now he understands perfectly. Christ gave motivation and to the Macedonian believers. Look at verse 7 and 8 and 9 as we're going through here. "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in all diligence, in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace." Now tell me, what is this grace? What's he talking about the whole chapter 8 and 9? What's he talking about? Tell me now. Giving. You abound in these blessings. See that you abound in this grace also. Verse 8. "I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love." Boy, I like Paul. What a preacher he was. Did you understand what he did there? He's saying, "Now, brethren, I don't have a verse that commands this, but he said, if you love the Lord, you'll do it." Isn't that what he said? Isn't that what he said? Hey, this is not a commandment. The tithe is. It's commanded of the Lord. Faith, promise, giving isn't. So Paul had to say, "Now, hey, this is not a commandment, but if you want to prove you love Jesus, you'll do this." Let me ask you a question. Can someone tithe and not be right with God? Tell me. Sure they can. The Pharisees were. Oh my, they were great givers of tithe to the nth degree, but they didn't love the Lord. But here is something that Paul says you prove your love when you do this. What a rebuke to the church at Corinth. Now, they were concerned about gifts. Paul is concerned about something else. the grace of giving. I read about a lady down in Florida that died at age of 71. She died of malnutrition. She starved to death. She weighed 44 pounds. They found two keys to two deposit boxes in the bank. In one, there was $200,000 in cash. In the other, there was $600,000 in cash and many bonds and stock purchases. By the way, you mess around with stocks, you'll wind up in bonds sooner or later. You'll wind up in bonds sooner or later. But here was a poor lady that had all that saved up and died of malnutrition. Now, another thing about our Lord in His giving is He sacrificially gave by grace. He was rich in possessions, position, and He left it all and became poor. He was born poor. He lived poor. He died poor. Why did He do it? Verse 9 says, for your sakes. For your sakes. How did He do it? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He voluntarily did it. He did it by the grace bestowed upon Him willingly. We practice faith, promise giving, or grace giving when we accept God's grace. When we give of our own free will, willingly, like the Macedonians gave. And when we give to help others. Everything was created by Him. And yet He became poor. What a Savior we have. Amen or not? Grew up in despised Nazareth. With a family. I'm talking about brothers and sisters. At least six others. Lifted up a spectacle to the world. On the cross. Why did He do it? For your sakes. For my sakes. He became poor. So that you and I might become rich. Years ago out in Texas, there was a fella. He just had some land there. Didn't have much of a house. And one evening, some well-dressed businessman knocked on his door. He said, well, come on in. And they came in. And they said, sir, we'll get to the point. We represent a certain oil company. And we believe that there is oil on your land. And we're willing to give you a fabulous price. If you'll sell us your land. Well, someone said he was ugly as a mud fence, but he had a lot of common sense. He said, no, gentlemen, I don't think I want to sell. And they whispered one to another and they doubled the price. Said, we'll give you double. He walked back and forth as if he were thinking it over. And then all of a sudden he stopped and he said, I'm sorry, men. I can't sell this land. It has sentimental value to me. Sentimental nothing. He knew how to jack the price up. They whispered one to another and they said, sir, here's our last price. We can't double again. Here's our last price. You take it or leave it. Just to make him sweat, he walked back and forth a little bit, thinking about it. Then all of a sudden, he said, oh, I'll bring the papers. He said, I'll sell it to you. But he got to thinking, if they think there's oil on my land, there's probably oil on all my neighbor's land. And with a bundle of money he got for his land, he went out and bought all of his neighbor's land around him. and all of a sudden black gold was spurting up towards heaven, and all of a sudden this fella was wearing diamond rings, driving a royal blue Cadillac. And before, the little girls wouldn't even give him the time of the day. He'd say, they'd just raise their nose in the air and walk on. They wouldn't even tell him the time of the day. But you know, after he became rich, something changed. Did you know the little girls all of a sudden wanted to date him? Reckon what changed their mind. He thought to himself, they don't care about me. They wouldn't even give me the time of the day before I was rich. And this literally happened. He left his all that he had in the hand of a foreman that could run it. And he moved all the way from Texas to Aiken, South Carolina, and got a job in a cotton mill. No one knew that he was rich. He worked in that cotton mill. And one day he met this little freckle-faced South Carolinian. And he kind of liked her and began to talk to her and ask her would she go somewhere with him. And she did. And they saw each other regularly. And later on, months passed. And they became engaged. And later on, lo and behold, they became married. And he never told a word to her. He said, "Now, honey, I want us to work hard all year long and save our money, and when the mill shuts down," he said, "I'm going to take you out to where I was reared and show you where I was reared." And they saved, and they saved, and they saved. Hey, did you know a lady can save money if she wants to? Hey, I got to warn you, fellas, bless your heart, she can spend it too. But I mean, if she wants to, she can save. And they saved and saved and saved. And finally, came time the mill shut down. He took her down to the train. They went into their compartment where they were going to sleep, going to Texas. A porter came and said, "Sir, is there anything I can get for you?" And he said, "Yes, sir. Would you bring a pitcher of water?" He brought him a pitcher of water. Now, this is years ago, folks. He pulled out a $5 bill and gave it to him as a tip, and she's kicking him. Crazy. Are you crazy? That's a $5 bill you gave him to bring you a pitcher of water. And he said, "Honey, don't make a big fuss about it." They went out to the dining car, and a lady came up and said, "May I help you?" He said, "I want two of the best steaks you got." She said, "No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. He wants beans and taters like I want. And you bring beans and taters." And he looked at the waitress and said, "Hey, bring us two of the best steaks you got." She didn't know what to think. And all of a sudden, she was irritated inside. They got up after eating, and he left another large tip, and she grabbed it off the table. He took it out of her hand and said, "Honey, lay that down there. I'm leaving that for the waitress." And all the way back to their car, where they were going to sleep, she's preaching to him. "Now we're going to get to Texas, and we won't even have money to get back on. You're spending everything. You're throwing it away." And he said, "Don't worry about a thing. Don't worry about a thing." They pulled into Texas, his city. They were unloading. I mean, this is a true story. They were unloading the baggage car. Here's a fella smartly dressed in a blue suit with a blue cap. He grabs her bags and starts walking off with him. And she's screaming, "Hey, hey, stop that guy. He's got my bags." And her husband says, Sweetheart, that man knows what he's doing. Just be calm. Took her bags to a royal blue Cadillac, popped the trunk, put her bags inside, went back for the man's bags. Told her, said, now, honey, get in this car. She said, no, I can't. I've never ridden in a car like this in my life. Don't make me get in. He said, get in this car. And so he opened the door and kind of gave her a little help. Locked it, ran it down, ran around the other side, got in. And he said, all right, take us. The chauffeur went up through one neighborhood, beautiful. Went up through a more beautiful neighborhood. And then to a spectacular neighborhood. And stopped in the backyard. By this time, this little South Carolinian, she's weeping. She's saying, I don't know who lives here. But I've never been around finery like this. Don't make me get out of the car. He said, honey, don't worry about a thing. Don't worry about a thing. He helped her. He's tender now. He takes her in the house. They go in the kitchen and he pushes a button. And two maids come. Black dresses with white aprons and they bow before him. And he said, sweetheart, these are your maids. This is your house. That's your car. You see, I became poor so that you could become rich. Do you got what our Lord did? He became poor. He became poor. Hallelujah. So that you and I might become rich, wealthy. I'm not talking about in this world's good, but hallelujah, there's mansions on the other side. All because of Him. Now, if He did that for us, you're trying to tell me we can't sacrifice for Him? Faith, promise, giving. It's when we give in spite of circumstances. When we give enthusiastically. When we give like Christ gave to us. Well, I've got to close, but up in Milford, Ohio, where Dr. King used to pastor, I have a good friend that used to go there. He's with Bearing Precious Seed, Brother Wayne. Brother Bob Ford, one of the greatest men I know. He's been in our church in Brazil and preached. Bob Ford told in our church in Brazil that there was a man in Milford, Ohio, that church, that his name was Ralph. Now, Ralph wasn't, he wasn't mentally or anything, he's just different. A plaid shirt with striped suit, one color sock on one foot, another color sock on another foot. That's how Ralph was. Just didn't care about things like that. And Bob, this friend of mine, that's with Bearing Precious Seed, he was washing his hands in the bathroom in the midst of the missions conference. And Ralph came in, and Ralph said, Brother Bob, I'm not sure, but I think God wants me to give $75,000 to missions. Well, Bob wouldn't laugh at him. But he thought, man, this fella doesn't have hardly anything. And so he filled out his card. Said, I believe the Lord's leading me to give $75,000 this year to missions. Didn't know where it was coming from. One day a truck was coming down the hill where he lived and lost his brakes and ran into Ralph's house, killed his least daughter. that truck had to pay Ralph a large amount of money. One Sunday morning, Bob Ford said, Ralph came in. He said, it took my lovely little girl, but here's my offering, $75,000 for missions this year. Now, that's the only one I've ever heard something like that happen. Would you trust God? Would you give by faith? Well, let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Thank you for listening. Father, I have preached about something that we have lived for many years now, maybe 40 years. Going up every month, not every month, but every year on our faith promise. And somehow, you've helped us to make it. You've supplied our needs. You've given us more than we ever deserve. I thank you. Now bless your people tonight. I would have rather preached on another subject, but I felt like one night, I ought to, especially knowing Brother Stennett Blue, I felt like I was obligated to take one night to talk about grace giving. Thank you for teaching me. Thank you for the grace. It's not any merit. It's not anything that we've done. It's grace that's been bestowed upon us like it was bestowed upon the Macedonian believers. I pray that you'd bless this church. We saw the other night how many raise their hand as faith promise givers beyond their tithe. Keep them faithful. Keep them true. Now, Lord, I really don't know how to give an invitation. I just come and ask you to take charge, as I don't know what to say or what to do. We just pray that your name will be honored. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I wonder, is there someone here unsaved that will say, Preacher, please pray for me this evening. I'm not saved, or maybe you're a backslider. Would you slip your hand up high and say, pray for me this evening? Would you do it anywhere in the building? Anywhere in the building.